Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation, who comforts us in all our sorrows so that we may comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we have first received from God. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise you. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our sister Susan. We thank you for giving her to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until, by your call, we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter. But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took with you from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I've chosen you, and I've not cast you off. Don't fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The word of the Lord. Before we do the second lesson, I'd like to read and share the obituary that's printed on the back and make just a brief comment as Sue's brother-in-law. Susan Elizabeth Stewart, age 70, died March 19th, 2018 at Baylor Scott and White Medical Center in Irving, Texas. The burial of her ashes occurred yesterday, July 26th, near her deceased husband, John William Stewart, at the National Cemetery in Dallas. Susan was born to Phyllis Nelson and Charles Sawyer on June 24th, 1948, in Wichita, Kansas. The family was active there at Redeemer Lutheran Church. Susan was the oldest of four daughters who graduated from Southeast High School in May of 1966. She was a high-achieving student, an insatiable reader, and athletically inclined. She graduated from the Lutheran Hospital School of Nursing in St. Louis, Missouri in 1969, and she was employed as a registered nurse at Colorado General Hospital, Denver, Colorado, at Wesley Hospital, Wichita, Kansas, and here at Irving Hospital in Irving, Texas. On April 30th, 1977, Susan Sawyer and Jay Stewart were married at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Irving, Texas. I think they were married in the same gym that Judy and I were married, probably. Is that correct? Not in the gym. Were they outside? They were in the courtyard. Okay. So she didn't have the presence of the basketball hoops over her head. Okay. She got to see it another way because she served here in many ways. She thrived on caring. Jay brought four children into the marriage, and William Charles Stewart was born on January 20th, 1983. She thrived on caring for her family and in being active at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. After her nursing career ended, employment was enjoyed at Good Shepherd's daycare, as well as opportunities to clean houses in the community. Sue struggled with various mental and physical illnesses, which made professional and daily life difficult. In her senior years, she was rarely outside her home. Sue was preceded in death by her father, Charles Sawyer, her mother and father-in-law, Lena and Joseph Stewart, her husband, Jay Stewart, two stepchildren, Johnny Stewart and Mary Gwen Moore, a nephew, Jimmy Goswine. Survivors include her mother, Phyllis Sawyer of Kearney, Nebraska, son, Bill Stewart, and stepchildren, Judy, Lynn, Lily, and Debbie Ramley, all of Irving, Texas, sisters Jan Tortorella of Sugarland, Texas, Jeannie Sawyer of Davenport, Iowa, and Judy Goswine of Kearney, Nebraska, seven nieces and nephews, nine grandchildren, and 17 great-grandchildren. Just a brief comment. There's a number of pictures and slides that have been pulled together that you'll have opportunity to see. We hope that you can stay for some of the fellowship. The conversation has been rewarding already that we're able to have and to recognize that sometimes the gifts that a person offers to us are silent and we don't actually know what happens to them. With Sue, it was a difficult last number of years, and yet she never lost that caring heart, that desire to see nurturing happen in the way that she responded to the world around her as best as she was able, and especially to her family and to her son, Bill. Yesterday at the graveside, we used Psalm 139, which rather than reading it here, I think it is appropriate to talk about how God knows us. Even when we may be at the peak of our life, on the highest parts of the mountain, His Spirit still knows what we are made of. And whether we are in a cave and not sure of what it is we're surrounded about, His Spirit still knows us. His Spirit has known every word that we've spoken, and in Sue's case, every care that she had and wished to express to the world around her, but also of what we're made of, every bone and how we've been formed even from the womb. His Spirit knows us and loves us. And in that, we're able to conclude in the psalm and just say, "Search my heart, Lord. You already know me. Search my heart." We know that God has already searched and found the gracious gifts of Susan Stewart. Then we were able to continue with the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians, where he talks about how the battle goes on inside of us. That battle between sin and death, as well as the grace of God. We know that as the trumpet sounds, God's grace ultimately and finally wins. From the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, our second lesson. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability. This mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Sting of death is sin. Power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we will continue with a reading of Paul's understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome in the 8th chapter, writes, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." This is Paul's proclamation of the gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. My hope
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. These are the words of the hymn writer Edward Mote. They sum up for us a truth about the life that we all live. We are creatures of a fallen world. Left alone, we are limited to the things of this world. Left alone, we are limited to the ramifications of our own actions. And left alone, we ultimately only face limitation. Alone, my friends, there is absolutely no hope. But the good news of Scripture, the good news that's been read and celebrated this morning, is that we are not alone. God gave his Son, Jesus, who suffered death on the cross and who rose from the dead to provide forgiveness, salvation, and hope, especially today. Because of Jesus, we're not limited to the things of this world. Because of Jesus, death no longer means the end. Because of Jesus, death has simply become a gate through which we all must pass to eternal life. Because of Jesus, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for the world. And today, as we commend Susan to our Lord's keeping, we are reminded, most of all, there's hope for Susan. So we gather today as family, as friends. We gather to commend Susan to our Lord's keeping. A daughter, a mother, a sister, a sister-in-law, an aunt, a friend. We commend her to our Lord's keeping. And we say goodbye for now. For 70 years, Susan lived a full life, a life that included marriage, it included children, and an extended family for which she thrived. Thank you for sharing those words with us this morning. It also included a career as a nurse, a caring career of serving right here in this school at Good Shepherd, a life that impacted lives of those she served. I'll share, and as I've shared with you, and I think most of you know, since I'm simply the interim pastor who just arrived, I never had the opportunity to know her personally. So, John, I thank you for sharing and reading for us today and adding your own insight. And for those of you who are not aware, John is not only Susan's brother-in-law, but he is also a pastor in the Lutheran Church. And so he will be helping later on today as we celebrate communion. And I want you to know that I appreciate your joining with me in this endeavor, but also to share with you that I believe you honor Susan by making yourself a gift to your family and to all of us. So thank you. And you add something today because you add some of the fullness to the story that those of us who didn't have the opportunity to know Susan get to learn. And we thank you for that. And I call it a full life because I know there was meaning and there was impact and it made a difference. But a full life is not only a life that's lived on top of the mountain. A full life is not only a life there, everything is good and rosy and all of those kinds of things. A full life also not only has its ups, but it has its downs. A full life has trials. It has tribulations. A full life not only has health, but a full life also has illness that robs us of life. So today, as we gather, we remember and we celebrate the fullness of life that Susan lived and the fullness of life that we had the opportunity to experience with her. But now the time has come to let go of that full life. The perishable has put on the imperishable, and the mortal has put on immortality, which gives us hope as we commend Susan to our Lord's keeping. And as we say our final goodbyes, we're comforted by the words of Paul, who reminds us that as we continue in the fullness of life, as we continue to face the challenges of mortality, as we continue to face the pain of death, we do so not alone. For God is with us to guide us, to strengthen us, and to give us hope. What then are we really to say, as Paul asks? If God is for us, who can ever stand against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us everything else? You know, there's probably no other writer in the whole of Scripture that better connects the promise of God to the challenges we face in life than the Apostle Paul. And I believe that's because Paul grasps the depth of God's love. But also, I believe he's completely honest with himself and the human condition. And so he's able to link the two significantly. It's Paul who underscores for us our utter dependence on the God because he understands our weakness. From his own experience, Paul understands that he's not able to do the things he wants to do and does the things he doesn't want to do. It's Paul who says it best and most direct when he says, "All people have sinned and all people have fallen short of the glory of God." In that statement, Paul connects the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, me, and with Susan. And it enables us to celebrate the full life that we shared. For Paul, we are all more than conquerors through Christ. And that's where the hope lies. So as conquerors, we're free to celebrate. We're free to celebrate as family and friends. We're free to laugh. We're free to look to a glorious future. And that's not because of the gifts we have or our own abilities. It's because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. For if God is for us, who could ever stand against us? No, we are conquerors. We are conquerors, and nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's ours in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth that sets us free. And to that good news, all God's people said, Amen. Confess our faith in the words of the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy,
Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, give courage and faith to all who mourn, and assure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy, help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us take a moment to greet one another and share our Lord's peace.
Jesus Christ, and so with all the choirs of
gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown in your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at the end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Come, come, Holy Spirit. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Bread of heaven and our body, blood given, we eat this bread and drink this cup until you come again. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. I would like to share with you a word of how we will share in the celebration of Holy Communion. In a few moments, the ushers will invite you to fill around the chancel area. And Pastor John and I will then commune you. We were going to use a method that's known as intinction, where I will provide you a piece of bread, and then you'll be able to dip it into the cup of wine. And so if there is need for a gluten-free option, please let me know. And I'm not sure that we got it out, but we will get it for you so that all are served. So please just let us know. This is God's gift to us today, his presence, for which we give thanks. The body of Christ given for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Please stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen. Susan's confirmation verse was John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Trusting in the promise of God's word, let us commend Susan to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Susan. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. Amen. And now it's time to celebrate together as a family the life that was shared in stories and remembrances. I understand there's a presentation with pictures, so everyone is invited into the fellowship hall to join together in food, fellowship, and remembrance. But before we go, I thought maybe we'll say a word of grace, and then we can move on to the food that awaits. Good and gracious God, you have blessed us today with the comfort of your Spirit and your presence through each other. Be with us now as we go to fellowship. to celebrate the lives that we've shared. Bless the food that has been prepared and those who have prepared it. And as we go forth, Lord, we pray that you keep us forever in your grace. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. And